I would like to know how we determine whether or not the information provided by the Portland Police to this open data source is corrupt. How do we know it's false? How do we know the accuracy of it? Since we know that police commonly falsify reports and or leave out information on reports, so they falsify by omission. How do we verify the validity of this information that's coming from the police in regards to how they're functioning in our communities? Are we going to get to see logs? Does that include evidence logs, utilization of police vehicles, the firing of weapons, how many police are in each neighborhood, what those police look like, how many years of training, their records of brutality and excessive use of force? I mean, it goes on and on and on. Does this account for every single bullet that's spent at every firing range or city street? How is this information gotten from the police department? How do we know that you're actually delving in and making them more transparent? Because we hear the word transparency, but it's a lot like the word diversity. It sounds good on paper, but really what diversity means is backdoor racism. So what's the backdoor evil intent of this that the police are going to use?
Thank you. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Wayne Wignes. I just read a book called Social Physics by a researcher at MIT, a big data researcher. He showed that the rate that ideas spread throughout society is directly proportional to the number of face-to-face contacts. You know, and the correlation he came up with is unheard of in the social sciences. And business practices changing, cultural, individual habits changing. And he attributed this to evolutionary group behavior, you know, like gorillas in the hills. They don't move out until they hear a call from everybody. And the same kind of tipping point behavior occurs in humans when we're exposed face to face. And so you can imagine what a kick I got out of it, you know, because I'm always crying about bunk beds. And you know, my large-scale bunk housing, my argument goes deeper beyond homelessness and gentrification. It's about the concept of shared space as it decreases with development. It produces profound economic and social shifts. So that's just one example of how big data produce tangible evidence for one reasonable argument. And that makes it that much more likely that we make reasonable decisions, right? But imagine what it could do for the social consciousness. I mean, you give people, you know, data, observable data that they can chew on, and that takes the public deliberation out of the realm of degenerate speculation and opinion, and it turns it into productive proof-disproof. For example, I was just at a board meeting at PSU, and I had to listen to people say, separated by one sentence, they asked, they're arguing, I want $15 an hour for school employees. And then the next sentence they said, and I want reduced tuition. Like, you can't have one without taking from the other. This is a prime example of how, you know, people have not been forced to think about, they haven't had access to the numbers. They have not been forced to think about things, you know, and they have not been forced to see things on a more causal level. Same thing applies with the police department. The more fundamental question is, what caused us to lose our leverage against police in the first place? Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be asking, you know, pointing the finger at individual cops for what is a systemic issue. Reason has been lost is what I'm saying. In big data, I'm just here to say I'm excited about it because it can restore reason.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony, all three of you. Thank you. Next three, please.
The last two who signed up are Michael Duro and Mary Ann Schwab.
I'd like the last, please.
Go ahead, Light. Start, please. Thank you.
Yes. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X. Mayor Wheeler, if you ever try to silence the voices of children ever again during public communication, I guarantee I will begin a recall effort on you immediately. Do not ever silence children based upon the content of their speech when they're redressing their grievances to the government. Never do that. Now, moving on. Bring the sunshine down upon the data. Now, the reality is this. The data is only as good that we receive. If we don't receive it, if we don't have transparency, if we don't have access to it, if we can't get that data to the public, it doesn't mean anything. You protect your data. You protect your interests as a municipal corporation. You protect yourself from liability, and we know that. We want your data. We want the data on the Clinton Foundation, so the Sunlight Foundation that was doing an investigation on her to put her in jail will back off when Bloomberg gives them grant money to do other things because they want her elected. That's what the real world is. Research it and look at it. Bloomberg, number one, should have never been a mayor. He should have been removed. Why? Because he has conflicts of interest with his business entities. Look at Donald Trump. You want to remove him right now because of conflict of interest? Why didn't you remove Mayor Bloomberg? Mayor Bloomberg, guess what? You're the reason why Donald Trump will never be impeached on that. Now, issue number two, this Hack Oregon, impressive work. Now, let me say this to you. If you really want to do something for this community, figure out how we're going to store the data on body cams and get these body cams on these police officers so we can have the information and the data to make sure that violence will de-escalate in this city and these young kids back here won't be so afraid to speak out to the mayor and say, I'm scared of these police. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Thank you.
Don't ever silence their voices.
Good morning.
Thank you very much. Ever.
Thank you. Good morning, Marianne. Welcome to my world. Good morning.
Thank you, everyone. My name is Marianne Schwab. I'm a Southeast community advocate for a number of years. And when you talk about open publication, I want to address three points with you here today. Number one, when we had really an upside-down 15-year maintenance, much like our Commissioner Udaly, all of a sudden into housing, we really tried to work with Nick Novick and wanted the formula he used when it was 50% residents, 1% the railroad, 49% businesses. We waited 53 days for that data. It didn't come, so we filed suit. We were in court, shook hands, and I want you to know that data cost us $2,500. It was never returned. We as a public did not know that you had to ask for the dollars back. I was one that helped contribute towards that data, and I find that offensive, and I want to make sure that's not intended in this document. The second thing I want to talk about is I tried to go to Lewis and Clark College to read a paper copy of the city charter. Their last paper copy is 2009. They suggested I go to the city archives, so I called to make sure I could make an appointment with their librarian to help me research. They had the same. So they suggested I go here to the auditor's office thinking, surely she has a paper copy. My concern in this high tech, all its energy, people my age don't have access, most of them, to computers. We like to read a paper copy. And not having that available, I think, is something, is a word of caution. We need to have that in our archival data. And I want to also thank you. I would hope that no other neighborhood has to pay for data from one bureau to another. This silo business must stop. And furthermore, with your budget, I'm hearing you say during Mount Tabor public review that it is still a draft. I'm not going to give up until FAR 59 on May 31st. The city can give them a dollar for this and keep this memorandum open. And Amanda Fritz, this is one time we need to talk. And I'm not going to bid on the League of Women Voter Luncheon to meet with you. I can't do that. The bid would be so high. And, sir, I have been waiting to meet in your office since February 8th. I've been here every Friday since, and I still can't get 15 minutes with His Honor the Mayor. My feelings are hurt. Thank you.
Wait, Kristen. Where is Kristen?
I'm Mrs. Schwab.
Can you meet today at 5 o'clock?
I have to come back because I have to go home and
check
my...
We'll make it happen, Marianne.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
And Mrs. Schwab,
I'm
of course, you're always welcome
aware
to come and meet with me.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
You don't come to meetings anymore. My name is Michael Perot. I'm a longtime activist in Portland. First came here October 13, 1967 with my mother and my father. My father was in the Air Force. My mother's from Denmark, and I was born in Denmark.
I'm sorry, is the mic on? Is the green light on there?
Yeah.
No, sorry.
My name is Michael Durow. I'm a longtime Portland activist. I live in Northeast Portland, same house, same place, 37 years now. I live in the house with my mother, but I'm not a buster. I think I'm a boomer, but I might be a buster. Point here today does not have to do very much with the Portland Police, but I do wish to talk to you about the Portland Police because I've been assaulted by the Portland Police at least twice this year. Once they falsely imprisoned me also for 15 days, habeas corpus. So we need to talk. I don't want to see you. I just want to talk. The data is in the details, and we need the data. The devil's in the details, and we need the data. The cops need the cameras, and we need to see what's on them, preferably live, so we can do something about it. Because if we see it afterwards, like with Rodney King, people get hurt, streets burn, and we don't want our city to look like Watts. We really don't. This is the most beautiful city in the United States. I dare say it's one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And I've seen cities. I've been to Istanbul. I've been to Copenhagen. I've been to Berlin. I've been to London. This is a beautiful city, and there's some really great people here. There's some really crappy people moving in and taking over. I love those people too, but you get the details. This can be solved with open source data. This can be solved in a year, actually. We need to port our data. We need to put it in the cloud, all of our data. We need to put it in a Hadoop infrastructure, and we need to protect who accesses it, but we need to know who accesses it. Google can do this. I'm a Google reseller, you don't need to talk to me, but you need to put your data in the cloud, please.
Michael, can I ask you a quick question? Just a yes or no. Do you think there's an urgency in implementing this as soon as possible?
You know what? The city is close to burning down.
Do you want us to move to implement this as quickly as possible?
Yes.
That's all I need.
I've been working on this since 96.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nick.
And, Michael, if you could do me a favor and leave your contact information for
the I will. By the way, I represented Bernie at the DNC.
Oh, very cool.
We didn't win because there's too many liars on both sides. There's a liar in the White House, and there was a liar running against him. And the liar with more money managed to take the system.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor,
thank you for your testimony.
I'd like to bring a motion.
Fish.
Mayor?
Yes, sir.
With the benefit of the city attorney. Mayor, I think there is a benefit to having us implement this policy as quickly as possible, including some of the action items that are called for. So I would move that we place an emergency on this ordinance.
Second.
Okay, so there is a motion by Commissioner Fish to move as an emergency ordinance. There was a second. It was a close contest, but I'm going to give it to Commissioner Fritz today.
She always beats me.
Any further discussion?
May I have
Michael, we're not wrong.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for your
time. May I have the remainder of my time?
You have 10 seconds. Sure,
yes,
go for it.
I would like that part. We get that park. I'm a realtor. I can fix that deal. I don't currently have my license, but I know people that can. We can at least retain our option on the park so that people can buy it for themselves.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you very much, everybody.
So the motion, the amendment is on the table. Is there any further discussion on the amendment?
There's your glasses on the table.
Michael,
your
glasses.
Don't forget your glasses here.
Oh, by the way, I lost my laptop. It's a black Asus or whatever. It's a Chromebook. If you have it and you took it, it was in the bathroom, don't play with it. Just wipe it or destroy it. Because it'll destroy your local network.
Thank you, Michael. So is there any further conversation on the amendment?
No.
Please call the roll on the amendment.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
And the reason is for the urgency, as Commissioner Fish said, aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. So now to the main motion. Are there any further questions of staff or any further comments on the part of the City Council before we call the roll? Seeing none, please call the roll on the main motion as amended.
Fish?
I'm sorry that Dan is not here, but I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman and the mayor for bringing this forward. I also want to acknowledge the work that Dan's chief of staff, Brendan, has brought to this for a long time, and not just when they were commissioners in charge of one of the relevant bureaus. I want to thank our friends at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and the Budget Office for their partnership in taking the lead. I want to thank the young woman who came here from D.C. from the Sunshine Foundation and all of the guidance they've given us over time. I would like to thank Catherine and Hack Oregon for demonstrating to us the significant public value of opening data and allowing a civic hack process to unfold organically. And the bureaus that I have the honor of leading are going to want to be part of the next conversation about how to open up some of our data. I think ultimately today what is before us is another way to advance some core values of our city around access and transparency, empowering the public with new tools, and then ultimately being accountable. And when we get those right, there's greater public trust in our work. So I am very proud today to support the work of my colleagues. Aye.
You, Daly?
I'm really excited about this ordinance. Since I've gotten to City Hall, I've been beating the drum about how the city needs to be doing a better job getting information out to the public, and this is definitely next level accessible information. Our data should be accessible to everyone to access, use, and share as they wish. It's going to benefit our offices. I have also had challenges obtaining data that we've wanted from bureaus. It'll benefit our bureaus, business, academics, researchers, activists, organizers, and the general public. I share some of the concerns expressed by community members because this is only as useful as the data we're collecting. So I am particularly interested in what data the police bureau is going to offer. I think the community has made it very clear that they want more transparency and more accountability. And I would be remiss if I didn't add that we need to start collecting data on housing and on renters. Because we have no idea. Actually, someone here said that they did come up with a way to track where people had lived and where they live now. But we're really missing a lot of vital information that should be driving our housing policy. And so I'm thrilled that will possibly happen. Aye.
Fritz.
Obviously, I support this also. And thank you very much for coming all the way from D.C. to support it and for your work. Nationwide. It's nice to hear that it's been done in other places so that we can learn from their experiences. I do share Mrs. Swab's concern about paper copies of things being available as well. It should not be either or. There are still those of us who like to dog ear and write in the margins rather than putting little comments on Word. And I'm also concerned about sometimes things even now seem to be a needle in a haystack that you have to Google things, you have to look, use the search item, and it's sometimes hard to find things. And I don't want future city councillors or bureaucrats saying, well, it was on the website, why didn't you find it? Because even now when I know where I'm supposed to look, I sometimes can't find items. So that's a concern. We saw just today in the items we discussed so far how you can have the information that's clearly written on the time certain and on the consent agenda about this is what this is and this is what we're doing. We're soliciting for our bids or we are building low-cost affordable housing. And still, people have questions, concerns, and they're going to need real people to be able to answer the phone, answer to the email, and explain things. Because a lot of what we do is very complicated. There's billions of dollars involved and 6,000 staff at the City of Portland, never mind the rest of the governments in the region. So let's keep that in mind, that it's not going to do away with people answering questions and also with actually meeting face-to-face. There are occasions where you can get a better outcome by sitting down and discussing things, and you can use the data that this process is going to make obvious in order to be able to have a discussion based on the data, based on the facts. And finally, one particular concern I have is about privacy. And, you know, it was mentioned about the appropriateness of when data is shared or not. We have had discussions, for instance, on the police body cams, that there's a great interest in having the police wear them for police accountability. There's also a great concern about those cameras being used for surveillance and for intruding on the public's privacy. And so we won't be done, I think, with real people talking things through and trying to choose the best way. This project is going to help us have more information on which to make those decisions. Aye.
Wheeler.
I'd like to respond
and reflect on some of the public testimony that was given today. And frankly, I didn't think this would be controversial in the slightest. And yet it is, even though Portland is no longer anywhere near to being in the lead when it comes to open data. I mean, the irony, of course, is that Portland has been, since the very beginning of the open data movement, an absolute mecca for open data. This will seem like a non sequitur, but it's actually not. I hear at every council meeting somebody says how upset they are that they were not able to secure a meeting at a mutually agreed upon time. And I want to assure you, I wish I could meet in person with every single person who wants to meet with me. And I can just tell you point blank, as the mayor of a city, it's impossible for me to meet with everybody who would like to have a meeting, even people who I love, like Marianne Schwab. I think she's a wonderful jewel in this community, and she's the kind of person I would love to spend more time meeting with. And so, you know, bear with me as I try to maximize those opportunities for people to participate. I do respond to emails. This morning before 6 a.m., I responded to probably 15 different emails. Last night after 10 o'clock, I responded to a bunch of them. That tends to be an easier and quicker way. I try to make myself available at the community. And of course, I listen here in public testimony. As many of you know, I've changed my perspective based on the public testimony I have heard at these microphones. So I'm doing my level best. Now, how is this related to the ordinance at hand? It's related in this way. I actually think, you know, somebody asked the question, how do you trust the data? And the answer is, you can't trust the data. And think about this for a moment. This isn't pushing out data to the community and saying, here is the truth. This is pushing out data to the community because we're democratizing the data. And then everybody gets to look at that data and say true, false, something in between. Think about Twitter or Facebook. I'm sure there's nobody in this room who believes everything they read on Twitter or Facebook. There's another step that we are required to take, which is to dissect the data, question the data, use our reasoning capacity, do our research. But the first step is having the information out there. And by putting the information out there, if cities or bureaus or nonprofits or private sector companies, if they get busted for putting fake data out, that's an accountability mechanism in and of itself. So no, this isn't the end of the food chain, but it's an essential first step to democratize the data. So that's my only point. I'm enthusiastically supportive. I really appreciate the folks at Hack Oregon and your national counterparts who've been leading this movement around the country. It is a truly important next generation step as technology evolves and we use it more and more to communicate and come to our own conclusions about the world around us. So I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Thank you. The